Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. Today I'm joined by Adam Robinson, who is the CEO of Retention and R2B. And let me tell you, if you don't know what R2B is, you clearly are not on LinkedIn. Adam has absolutely taken the world by storm. And I'm just really pumped to dig into some really practical playbooks around how do you use R2B to de-anonymize your website traffic and actually convert pipelines. Adam, thank you so much for joining me today.
Welcome. It's 11:11 a.m. in Austin, Texas, and that's a lucky number. So everybody, make a wish because this podcast is going to be awesome.
Heck yeah. So with that, what I want to do real quick for anybody that has been living under a rock and doesn't know what R2B is, like, what is this thing?
R2B is person level website visitor identity. So you probably know the company or account level website visitor identity, Clearbit, Sixth Sense, Lead Feeder, Lead Forensics, a whole host of other vendors do reverse IP lookup and they provide you with the account, but then they guess who the person is. That's somewhat helpful. You could guess who the person is. Your AEs could guess who the person is. That is somewhat helpful, but what everybody really wants to know is who the person is. So through a totally different means of resolving this person, we can do it in the USA only because Europe and GDPR does not allow this tactic that we use, but it's 100% compliant in the US. European companies can use it in the US and be compliant because they're US, it's US traffic. With the IPs block out European IPs and it's only US data subjects in the database. So you'll never get served a European. Therefore, it is not compliant with GDPR. And that is the tech. And the value prop is it's a freemium offer. So you set it up for free and we just start pushing LinkedIn profiles and business emails into a Slack channel. And you are amazed by what you see. That's basically the value prop.
Can confirm. I had a Discover call earlier today. The entire team looked at our website right before and I connected with all of them before we hopped on the call. And I said, hey, by the way, we help build playbooks like what I've already started to run on you. And it immediately was like, oh, this is real. So again, like I could say, looks like you checked out our website at this time. Looks like you checked out our website at this time. Like it just baffled their mind. And it's also, again, completely for free. So seriously, no reason not to go check it out. Took like our team 15 minutes to set up. So super helpful. Sorry, big fan. With that, what are we talking through today? We're going to talk through, you now get this information, what do you do with it? So Adam, again, as we think through kind of some of the high level tactics, like with this information, what are you generally recommending people use this information for?
So this is a bigger problem than you might think. Cause like for, you know, to me, and by the way, like I've been selling a similar technology to e-commerce for 5 years. And I remember in the beginning of selling this tool, people had three questions. How is this legal? How does it work? What do I send? Right. So that's, we're basically dealing with question number three. I knocked out the first two when we were talking. So here's my perception of the usefulness of this tool, right? So what I think you shouldn't do is I think you should not just take all of the business emails, put them in a HubSpot marketing campaign and start sending newsletters to these people. I think you will experience a very low level of success with that type of untargeted outreach. What I think the tool is amazing for is, here's how I think about it. Every single channel that anybody does, meaning cold call, cold email, ABM, SEO, event strategy, like whatever it is, influencers, marketplaces, whatever, anytime anyone gets even remotely interested in what they see or hear from you, they're going to go to your site. What this tool does is it allows a salesperson at your company to filter down those people into ICP and make that other marketing activity that you are doing more efficient by raising the percentages of converting, you know, on some portion of these visitors, right? And I think it is, you do it one-to-one outreach, and it's either through an automation system like Clay, or it's just with, you know, if you have the SDR infrastructure sitting there, it is not hard to get it boiled down to ICP and get them doing the outreach if they're just doing it anyway, right? So that's kind of a long-winded explanation. It's like, I think you need to boil it down to ICP people, which it's surprising to me, especially as people's traffic gets larger, how low of a percentage of ICP visitors there actually are. So it isn't even that many, but boil it down to ICP and ICP people, one-to-one outreach. Now, for most businesses these days, I think my impression from talking to people, it's like do a connect on LinkedIn. Most people have said they have had a very high acceptance rate. I mean, near 100. I've heard a couple people say it was very low. I think that was like a result of their space, but they were able to get a very high email reply rate, which was interesting. So I would say step one, just feel the win of connecting with a bunch of ICP people on LinkedIn if you're evaluating the tool and doing nothing else, right? And then I'll get into some plays later, but long story short, the scenario that you brought up, if you are an agency and you're actually kind of selling a workflow related to this product, I think very strongly suggesting that you saw them on the site's a great idea. If you're using this as a brand, as like, let's say Gong was using it, right? And they're not like instructing people on how to do it, right? They're not selling a service related to it. They're not reselling it or whatever. The approach that I would take is I would just start a kind of like a cold outreach campaign to them that sort of, you know, articulates the value of the property. You can maybe like take some page views they're looking at and tailor the outreach, but just like put them in a sequence, send them some sequence LinkedIn messages. And what I have observed happen is something that we call engineered serendipity, where the positive responses come back as something along the lines of, well, shit, I was just thinking about this, you know? And the explanation I have for this, and mind you, I've been selling this similar tech to e-commerce for like 5 years. I don't think that the creepiness factor that when this is described to you, some people could assume there is. I think that for most people, it doesn't exist. And if you think about it this way, it's like, how many cold emails do you get in a day? I'm guessing 50. I don't know. Agency owner, like I get a ton, right? A cold email from someone like you did show intent, right? That is not like an infuriating activity in today's world with just the paradigm that we're living in. So yeah, I would say whatever, if you are worried about the creep factor, just try to distance yourself from that worry and use the tool and figure it out. Another question is like, oh, how long do I wait? I would do it within 24 hours. I mean, for sure. My experience with sales for the whole 12 years I've been selling software is every time that I had my team act sooner, we saw a step function increase in conversion.
Yep.
Why? Because intent decays exponentially. Right. On average, somebody is, you know, half as interested an hour later as they were at that moment. So I would act very soon, just knowing what I know about sales and numbers. If you don't want to do it 2 minutes later, I get it. If you want to do it that afternoon and they hit this morning, great. I would do it within a day. That's for sure. So the basic workflow is narrow it down to only people in your ICP. And wherever you do selling, just do what you were doing to a good lead. And I promise you, if you know how to book an outbound demo, you will book more outbound demos as a percentage of these leads than you do a lead list from Apollo or ZoomInfo. It totally makes sense why, right?
Yeah.
Like it's because these are the highest intent. You know, that intent signal of someone on your site is just as good as you're going to get, right? Besides them filling out a form and saying, I want a demo. Like, that's the next step. Maybe you want to, you know, the sky's the limit in terms of how you, like, we pass page view histories for page plans. So you could even filter down by ICP. And then we have a hot pages function where you can put your pricing page in, you can put your product PDP, your product pages in, and like, we'll serve them in a Slack and it'll say was on a hot page. Right. So yeah, that's the sort of fundamental thing. It's like, act quickly and do what you were doing anyway. If you use the phone, which, like, you know, our other business sells to big Shopify stores, we can't call those people. It's like, we get burnt at the stake. It's not in the ethos of that ecosystem. But like, there's a healthcare services, like a healthcare IT services company that was beta testing this out. Super low traffic, 10 visitors per day, 30% demo book rate on calling. It's crazy. Right? Like, unbelievable. Wow. But I've also observed this phenomenon that the lower the traffic of someone, generally speaking, the higher the ICP traffic is, which is just, you know, they're not driving traffic from anywhere. So usually only super relevant people actually get to their site. So that's one. This other guy, George Munguia, he's got an outsourced VA. VAs in Philippines for like whatever, it's called Coconut VA. Same deal, website visitors. He has a VA call through him. And the first day he booked 5 demos in 1 day using the phone. So the point is, any channel that works for you will work with this. So just do whatever you were doing to book demos. Only do them to the ICP visitors. I'll bet you a dollar it works, right? Like, of course it would. So then we go down to break into what are some variations of this, right? So Samantha McKenna loves thought leadership ad to very inexpensive clicks to the site, to resolution, to this type of whatever warm follow-up you would do, right? And it's just way more efficient than driving leads through LinkedIn, let's say, or like whatever else you're going to do to, like, you know, try to get an email to start following up. So that's one play. Thought leadership ad, two site visits, to capturing the information, to whatever your warm outreach is going to be, depending on your business. My buddy, Andy Muborn, he's got this newsletter play. So he's got 180,000 people in this sales newsletter that he's built up over 10 years, blasts a newsletter out, sends them to his site, captures the interested people in whatever page they clicked on, sends them targeted outreach related to that page, books. Pretty cool workflow. Now, this one, there's the whole Clay agency play. So just stepping back. So like these Clay guys, it's like they're doing this sort of like multi-domain pirate cold email strategy. Yeah. They're mad scientists. They love all this stuff. So like Clay is, in my observation and trying to play with it a little bit, incredibly complex. But once you understand all of the nuances of it, the limit to it is just your creativity. It's literally a boundless interface that you can, you know, you could build entire, like, I'm convinced you could build a superior product to Sixth Sense with RB2B and a lead scoring system based upon, you know, G2 and your CRM conversions and website visitors in Clay.
Yeah.
So I'm actually experimenting with that. So there's this whole wild world of pairing website visits, running them through Clay, and then doing God knows what afterwards. So our workflow is fairly straightforward. People hit the site, they go into this Clay table, Clay filters it down to ICP, and then we send them out a message that's something along the lines of, it looks at their site and it creates copy about who it thinks they sell to based upon what's on their website. And we drive them back to the homepage, but we have a zero friction free offer, but the conversion rate is like astronomical. It's like 11% on whoever we're sending emails to, which is, you know, smaller. It's probably 10% of the site visitors who are getting the email, but then 10% of them are actually signing up, which is great. Another incredible clay thing that I saw yesterday was to clay, filter down to ICP, then send Spark for personalized AI generated video in email, plus a voice AI LinkedIn message and email through instantly or whatever, right? Like,
yeah,
bananas. It's like this stuff is just so crazy.
What I want people to hear is like, and for quick context, if you've been a long time listener, we've got our 4D framework of data, distribution, destination, and direction. So that's how we think through every program. So RB2B, from my perspective, is an incredible data source. Like, who do we go after? And then all that you just walked through on all these different playbooks could just be a variety of distribution channels. Like, how do we get in front of these people? It could be LinkedIn, could be email, could be video, could be a voice message. Like, there's a thousand ways we can get in front of these people. And like, the limit is your creativity, because you know that they know that you exist. And like, I think that's the core thing that I want people to understand with RB2B is you know that people you're going after at least know that you exist. They hit your website. Like, that's the core. And then from there, it's what are we pushing them to? So there's a thousand things that you could do from a distribution perspective. And I love the call out around, look at the pages that they just visited and try to nuance your outbound message based on what you know that they looked at. I think of that as like, what's the next step content that they need to understand to continue their journey with you? And then lastly, yeah, what I also love about RB2B is from a direction component, that's how we track it. They come back to your website, you're tracking that they're engaging again. So RB2B in our framework hits both data and direction, so that you have a really great kind of closed loop around how are we successfully engaging our accounts.
I have nothing to add. That was beautiful.
Appreciate it. So here's the other thing that I want people to truly understand is, like, in the context of an RB2B playbook, you can start this for free, and you alluded to it, but like, truly it's a Slack channel that then pulls up, here's who's on your website. This is their website. This is the pages. These are the pages they looked at. It's like revenue, employee size, and their LinkedIn. And then there's a button that says connect on LinkedIn. It is that simple. So if you know how to install Google Tag Manager, if you know how to like set up a basic integration into Slack, it takes 15 minutes. Like, I cannot think of a reason not to install it. So
that was my plan. Literally just like remove all possible objections, right? Like,
yes. And it worked. So what I would love to just hear is, you know, as you've talked with some people, are there any roadblocks that people are experiencing? Is it something more like the IT team and security compliance team or whatever? What are the roadblocks actually getting started with RB2B that you've seen?
So there's a weird one where there is an invalid GDPR objection. So it's like, we had it on the site and my CEO got scared about GDPR and he took it off. And 100% of the time, if I can get that CEO on a call, they will put it back on. Oftentimes I cannot, because their CEO is another company. So once somebody internalizes that they're US data subjects, it's US tech on US soil and European IPs are blocked, therefore Europe does not seek to regulate that technology, they just want to make money. And they're like, oh, great. Now that I get that, good. But if they hear, because of whatever marketing chats, you know, people are talking about how it's sketchy from a compliance standpoint, it's not GDPR compliant or whatever, because that is technically true. It's not GDPR compliant, but that's because it doesn't apply, but that doesn't make you not GDPR compliant, which people interpret that sentence as, right? So like, that's a weird one. If you have a CISO, I would hope that they would be able to understand that nuance. If you have a CISO, it will almost definitely get stopped at that person, but it will get reviewed, and a good CISO should understand that nuance. Some do not. Some CISOs, to justify their existence, love to say, well, what if someone is traveling in the US? Or what if a European person moved to the US and you resolved them? A, total fringe case, but that's not relevant. B, GDPR actually does not apply to European citizens inside of the US. So anyway, there's a GDPR sensitivity that's unlike our other business. It was not that at all. It was like things around CAN spam and stuff. That is something that I'm just going to have to campaign around and demystify and, like, you know, do that over time. It's the other roadblock. So it's like, there's not really a tech roadblock. Like, it's like you said, it's just so easy to get the script on and get the Slack thing set up that that's not a problem. it's what this podcast is about. Like, you know, it's like people just, you know, it's like, I need to be told what to do, right? Like, I don't know what to do and I don't want to figure out how to work out. Like, I want somebody to hand me a workout, right? That's because that's not what I do. So like, you know, we need, I have the burden, you have the burden. We need to hand playbooks to people. That is the blocker, right? And I mean, excruciatingly detailed playbooks. So that is what I'm focused on. That is like why I'm, you know, thinking agency partners is program is so good. It's like, this is a technology that sort of yields itself to have a managed service on top of it, you know, an ongoing managed service. Cause it's like, we will continue to optimize how we activate these leads. So yeah, that's really exciting. Those are the two roadblocks. It's this weird misunderstanding. I'll say one thing, which is not totally relevant, but similar. It's like when we launched this product in the e-com space 5 years ago, the email space had done an incredible job at making people think that non-opt-in email was actually illegal to send, which is not the case. The CAN-SPAM law says the opposite. It says opt out. So long as it's got an opt-out link, it's okay. For 5 years, I've been saying there's this huge misunderstanding about CAN-SPAM. It's not actually opt-in, it's opt-out, right? So it's the same thing with GDPR. It's like, when I say it is not GDPR compliant, it is eliciting this reaction that is incorrect, right? But it's like, how else do you say that? I think slowly as we get more scale in the mid-market and enterprise, like what happened to us in the e-com space is Warby Parker adopted early on. And I was like, look, do you think Warby Parker is breaking the law to use this? They are not. They have internal lawyers. It is compliant. So like if we get, you know, 5 or 6 true enterprise people, I think that will make it a lot easier for these people to not be freaked out about this risk that they see in like these RevOps chats they're in or whatever. So anyway, those are the blockers right now.
And if I'm somebody that's just thinking through this and listening to the show, I view that right now as actually a positive because that means that there's still opportunity because not everybody's adopted it yet. And people that are these enterprise will probably be slow to move. So like if you're trying to make an impact and actually move quick, get it now before everybody else has got it too.
By the way, like I don't view this as something that the effectiveness of it will go down over time because I truly view it as something that just increases the efficiency of all your other marketing channels. So it's not going to do anything if you don't have any traffic.
Yeah.
The better you are at everything else, the better this is going to do for you. And it's not like if you're crushing your competitor at all your marketing channels, you're going to get more out of this than if they're doing half as well as you and they use it, right? Yeah. So it's just not like if person A and person B use it, then it's going to be less effective for person C because it's really all about how efficient you are at driving traffic that is high quality anyway, you know?
That's a great point. Okay. If I'm listening, I feel like I'm thoroughly convinced to at least check out the website and then probably have an RB2B playbook run on me. With that said, let's say that somebody wants to learn more about you. Where can they find you?
Sure. So I do a lot of stuff on LinkedIn, which you may or may not know. Adam Robinson, retention.com or RB2B on LinkedIn. Post a lot of stuff. I post a lot of stuff about actually growing this business, which I think a lot of people who do what we do probably find pretty interesting. Yeah. Stuff that other people are not willing to say. And then, you know, just check out rb2b.com.
I love it. Well, Adam, again, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM. We'll see you in the next one.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.